didn't become to Uriah. She didn't become prohibited to Uriah. That we know because she married David afterwards. Answers the Gemara Olo Kasha. That's her question. Hochika Omar. This is what Rabbi Ozer number two says. Eino Ishone Seres al Bari Lea al Iske Kinu Istiro. A woman becomes prohibited to her husband only through kinui ustiro mima ase shehoyo, and that we know from the incident of David HaMelech and Bathsheba and Uriah. The lo havi kinui ustiro, because there was no kinui ustiro, the lo itzero, and she did not become prohibited to Uriah. So we see that the only thing that would have prohibited her to Uriah would have been if he would have been Kinui Ustira. So we see without Kinui Ustira you can't that's Rabbi Loza's proof. Asks the Gemara, but that says the Gemara Mikol Mokom Kashio. Nevertheless, we've got a question, because what does Rabbi Loza number two say? He says Kinui Ustira ain't Kinui Ustiro, yes. If there's Kinui Ustiro, she, yes, becomes prohibited to her husband. Pesach Pesuach la. But then you go, but Pesach Pesuach not. Mm-hmm. If he says Pesach Pesuach, she doesn't become prohibited to her husband. It's only where there is Kinui Ustiro. So we see that Rabbi Ozer number two contradicts Rabbi Ozer number one. How can that be? Yes.
Is this an unusual use of the word
anus? Yes or no?
It's actually the word is in means yes and a means no.
Okay.
It's all the same way.
Yes. All right.
Is the construction right with in and lo? I mean, that is, it has to be
precursor.
There are two.
Kinu is tiro in. Kinu is tiro yes. Yes. There. She does become to prohibit to hazard. Pesach, Pesuach, lo. But if he says Pesach, Pesuach, she does not. That is what Rabbi Ozer number two says. Please don't let your minds wander. So there is now a contradiction between Rabbi Ozer number one and Rabbi Ozer number two. Now comes the important thing. Ask the Gemara Letameich, Kinui Stiru in Adim lo. And according to you, you are going to say now an impossibility to reduce ad absurdum. You are going to say Kinu Ustira, yes, and Aini no, according to Rabbi Ozer number two, even if there are two witnesses who come along and they say that they saw the guy into the room of the Bonaventure. So they went outside and they looked through the window. And through the window they actually saw the whole act from beginning to end. That, says Rabbi Ozer, no. That not. She doesn't become a sinner. Is that what you're going to say? It's nonsense. How can you say a thing like that? So you see, you've got to learn Rabbi Ozer number two differently. Elo hochika omar. But this is what Rabbi Ozer number two means. Eino ishones eres bal balo be'eit echo. A woman doesn't become prohibited to a husband if one witness comes and says, I saw the whole act. I saw from beginning to end. I saw the act. She doesn't become prohibited to a husband. She becomes prohibited to a husband only through two witnesses. Where two witnesses would come and say that they saw the whole act. The kinui ustiro, but where there's been kinui ustiro, afilu beidechod nami. There, even with one witness also. Why? Because there are glaim ledobor. So there are two witnesses for kinui, and there are two witnesses for stiro. And there's one witness that said that I went behind and I saw, looked through the window, and I saw what was happening, I saw the whole act. There, says Rabbi Ozer, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Ufesach posuach kishlei edim domi. And Pesach posuach, when he says Pesach posuach, legabi himself, vis-a-vis himself, it's got the same law as two witnesses. So now we understand the whole thing. So what is it that Rabbi, what is it that we learn here? With two witnesses, she becomes prohibited to her. The three ways in which a woman can become prohibited to her husband. The one way is where there are two witnesses, she becomes prohibited. The other way is where there is kinui ustiro and one witness, she can be. So she can become prohibited to her husband through two witnesses. She can become prohibited to her husband through one witness, but then there's got to be kinui ustiro. And she can become prohibited to her husband without any witnesses at all, where he says Pesach posuach motzosi, and that's which has got the same effect Lagabi himself as two witnesses. Where there's one supplicant. Yeah, that's the first piece of Gemara. Now we can say just one minute, George.
I heard that when there was kinui and stira and one witness, yes, then there was sota.
No. Soto is only where there is kinui ustiro alone. Then there is two witnesses. One witness, even if a blind but over kinui ustiro and one witness, she becomes prohibited to her husband. Where there are kinui ustiro and no witnesses, then it's soto, you see. Got the idea?
Yes.
So, tell me what you want to ask.
And does she still get the ketubah in all cases?
She gets the ketubah in... yes, she gets the ketubah.
I mean, where there's two witnesses to the act, does she still get...
I would say that she gets... where there are two witnesses... Oh, no.
That's right.
Oh, no.
So
there she does.
But with Pesach,
where there are two witnesses to the act, she gets a death sentence.
Okay. So, where there's kinui and stira and one witness, is she now... What does she get now? She gets also the death sentence?
No! All she's prohibited to her husband.
That's all. But she gets the ketubah.
I would say that she gets the ketubah. That
okay.
Is correct.
Because Petah Petuah, she gets ketubah.
She gets kesubah, yes, that's right. That's fine. Now, so that's quite easy now.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that easy, it's simple.
When it comes from this fresh
up... Just one minute. But you want to ask the question?
Yes.
I
see how we wanted to conclude that Rabbi Elazar couldn't have meant that
only Kinu is Kinu.
But she has to. But do we now go back and put these words into his mouth because he must have logically meant that?
Yes, I mean, this is what he meant. You can understand what a person meant. You understand? You can understand what he means. If it says in the Torah, and you should serve strange gods and bow down to them, I say something wrong here. It says in the second commandment that you mustn't have any idols and you mustn't serve, and yet it says, you must bow down to them. Something wrong. So what's wrong? We didn't read what went before that. So we've got to rephrase it. We've got to say what went before, isn't that so? You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, also with Rabin also. He said, obviously it's a reductio ad absurdum. We can't have said that. You come to an absurdity. And this isn't an existentialism where you can live with an absurdity. You can't live with an absurdity. it's terrible. If it's absurd, you can't live with it. So you've got to find out what it is. This is the way you understand it. That's simple. Very clear. God, can we go a little bit further now?
If I can just ask.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't have to end with the woman going out and with the ketubah. I take it can be reconciled if it can be straightened out that, okay, your Isser, while we're
yes,
while
but this was
out.
This was the Rashi. Shema Yisbarei Adobah, right at the very beginning. very important Rashi, but I've pointed it out to you three times, but I didn't expect it to make any interest, because if you don't know, then it doesn't make any impression, you see. If I look through a pathologist's slide, and he says, just look at the cancer there. I look through, I say yes. I don't know what to say. Say yes. So when I start teaching you Gemara and I point out something to you three times, you say yes. I know what the yes means.
Also, I wasn't
here. If you would have been here, it would have made a
difference. And all this time, I was worried I was missing so much by being in this.
You did. Because at least there you would have made what it meant. That is Shema Ibaradado, that's quite right. I mean, if it's possible that the idea that he comes to Beis Din is, says Rashi, that people start speaking. Good heavens, he's so early already. He's there, he's not supposed to work today. What's he doing there already? So they said, look, this is really, we know that this woman was forced, that this woman was raped, and they come and they say to the Beis Din, look here, this is what happened, it's a different matter. Or they say, look here, it's true, something happened, she was a young girl, and it happened before, but a long time ago, we know that, we can understand that something happened then, that we know. Of course, these things can happen, that's why she comes to the Beis Din, but we say she comes to the Beis Din, and there's nothing forthcoming. As I explained to you, this is a special ne'emonis that we have. A person is believed only as far as he himself is concerned in this. He's not believed for example, if she had been going out with a man. She had been... that man has got nothing to do with that man. Her kasubi doesn't touch her kasuba. Nothing at all. As far as she's concerned, but for himself he can do it. And this is the thing that it's still not altogether clear to us, and we'll have to try and clear it up. I've only got it as far as this is a special type of ne'emonis. And you remember, I compared it to the shochet, I compared it to the midwife, I compared it to the shopkeeper. He gets two people forced money into his hand, and they both run out with an article hanging on to it, and each one says, he bought it. Come to the shopkeeper. From whom did you receive the money? He said, I received money from both of them. He said, and whom did you sell it to? He said, I sold it to that person. First of all, he's only a dechot. Was he better than you? Got to give it to that person. It's only an Eid Erchot. This is a special ne'emonis that we do. It's not altogether the same, and please don't let me get away with it. Because in those cases, it is accepted even for outside of himself. For the shochet, it is accepted, I can also eat. For my wife, when she says, I say to her, how can I eat from your kitchen? She says, it's kosher, I can accept it. And not only can I eat from my kitchen, but David Morrow can also come and eat from my kitchen. On what basis? What my wife says. She's one witness, she's believed. So we see, so what she says, it's a different type of ne'emonis, but it is believed even outside of her precincts. In this case, he is believed, but only with himself. Nothing else. That's all. You believed, and therefore she's not allowed to live with you. But her kasuba, if you believe me, then how can she get a kasuba? That's only legabe yourself you are believed. And that is exactly the same thing as Kidashtich, I betrothed you. Only as far as he himself is believed. She can go and marry any person she likes. She can go and marry his brother. And he says, but you're an Ashes Ish. He says, I'm not interested. I didn't marry you. You didn't marry me. And insult to injury, my brother's through you go and take. That means it's Eichet Roch. How can you do that? Where is it? Doesn't matter. There it doesn't touch. Yes.
At this point in the Gemara,
yes,
chronologically speaking, was this at the time when a man was permitted to send his, give his wife a get, just,
yes,
automatically?
Yes.
Okay.
The only, that was stopped very recently. You see, when it was done...
Is that the solution to this situation?
No, there's several solutions to this situation. The one solution to this situation is that that we have a we don't have this period in between Kiddushin and Nisuin. So if he finds the Pesach Pesuach, it was when she was a Pnuyo. That is one of the solutions. Another solution is you can't give a get of a call, so that's another thing. But you must remember that when Rabbeinu Gershon introduced that you can't give a get by Korcho, the position had deteriorated already, that it was necessary for him to do so. Because before then it wasn't necessary. No man would do it. Well, that is the deed, but no man would do it. The deen is that as a father, I can take my child of 6 years old and I can send him to work. According to the deen. Have you ever heard of a Jewish father doing it? Have you ever heard of when he's 12 years old sending him? Well, it's just not done. Certainly not in those times it wasn't done. These are the great treasures that I've got in my mind and in my memory, where I used to see the poverty and what the parents didn't to keep the child at yeshiva, and the yeshiva didn't take any money for it, nothing, and this child lived in the town and he had one meal a day at the yeshiva. And the yeshiva used to give him a stipend, which was still not enough. And I saw little children in the big yeshiva, it wasn't allowed anymore. But in the small yeshiva, you had boys of 15, of 16 before. To the big yeshiva, they only came when they were 17. Boys of 15, living in the town. On Mondays, they ate at this place, and Tuesdays, they ate at that place. They came home to sleep. Wasn't enough in the home to eat. Wasn't enough in the home to eat. But what the parents didn't do, and what the town didn't do, and what the yeshiva didn't do to keep the child in the yeshiva. Can you imagine that a father would say to a child when he's 10 years old, 9 years old, you must go out and work, I can't earn your living? Of course not, but Alfi Dini can do that. I mean, that is the way the construction is, but you never do the sort of thing. And in the time of the Gemara, this was never done. We are still going to Yirtza Hashem, when we study further, we are going to see the way a husband treats a wife. A husband treats a wife like a queen. And that's the only way it can be. That's the only way it can be. And I explain to you what it means, a king and his... He says, "Arei at mekudesh sleep and abar zukedas Moshe v'Yisrael." I explain to you what it means, that she becomes his greatest treasure. You know what a person does with a treasure? I know a person who's got a picture worth a lot of money. You know what he does with it? He put into his home steel doors. This was in Haifa. Steel doors with bolts inside, insured, the picture. So you can imagine what a wife is. A wife is much more important than this. Listen to this. Gemara gets, it speaks about the type of work that a woman can do for her husband. It says Tochenes ve'ofor. She bakes bread and she mills the corn. And the Gemara says Tochenes ha'kodaito. You mean to say that she mills the corn? How can you get your wife to do that sort of thing? You miserable wretch, you jolly well do it yourself. You don't get your wife to do the milling? How can you do that, says the Gemara. See, the Gemara, no, it doesn't mean that. She prepares it for that. She takes it and she takes it, she takes it out and she gets it ready for it. But you can't expect her to do the milling. The Gemara goes through all the things. The wayward treats a wife is. And she is more susceptible to mental injury than a man is. A woman is like that. Even in California, women are like that. They don't admit to it, but it's a fact of it. You've got to treat a woman accordingly. You've got to take that according to the deen, you've got to take that into consideration, otherwise it doesn't work. Alright, now let us go a little bit further, gentlemen. You've had a nice rest now, and now we go further. Ask the Gemara. Asks the Gemara exactly the same question that David Archuleta says, and the Maisa Shehoyu, the incident or the happening that took place with David HaMelech, why didn't they prohibit her onto Uriah? Why not? And then prohibit her, and then she would have been prohibited to David. Why not? Answers the Gemara two answers. One answer that the Gemara gives is Horsom Ones Hava. There it was, she was forced.
Where is
this? There, in the case of Bathsheba, she was forced.
Her body. That would be the fate.
She was forced. That would be the what?
Fate.
No, no. She was forced.
Forced by David.
Because
King says,
if the Melech says, you can't say no. It's not like the President of the United States before Reagan came into power. He didn't want to, you said no. But you can't, honey, that you can't. You can't say no. I want to tell you that even in a country like from where I came, where the protocol was by no means as strict as in England, but still there was a protocol, and a very clear protocol. And once in diplomatic services, in diplomatic circles, this protocol is always adhered to. We had one thing when we didn't entertain officially. This was with them. We had to explain to them and get them accustomed to it. If we, the thing is that if you entertain on ministerial level, that means the Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, Ministers of the Cabinet, all ambassadors, ministers potentially all ambassadors, the same protocol applies. So, the Master of the House sits there, and the Mistress of the House sits there at the head of the table opposite. On the right hand side of the Master of the House sits the Prime Minister or the Minister or the Ambassador. The wife of the Prime Minister and the Ambassador. On the right hand side of the lady sits the Minister or the Ambassador. Come, I'm going to have the ambassador's wife sitting next to me. find the Meister. I'm not getting that there. So if it wasn't official, you see, they said that's protocol. You see, but if it's not official, it's not protocol. And they said, no, but it's always like that. It's always official. We can't be a prime minister when we come to your house. It can't be that we're not a prime minister, or we can't be that we are not an ambassador. Why? One said to me, he said, is there, actually he heard me saying this once and used it. He said, when you are not on duty, do you go to a nightclub and say you're not a rabbi? I said, but there are two laws, you see. Two laws. There's one Lord's protocol, a very, very important law. And you know, I would never break it. But there's another law, and that is the Torah. And this is a greater law. In the same way, a general, was the place called My Lai?
Yes.
General says, okay, you've got to kill those people. And so the officer says, so the soldier says, I'm under orders. So yes, but there's a greater law than that. There's a higher law than that. That says you mustn't do it. And your officer is also under that law. So why did you do it? You're not supposed to do it. You can't say that you were carrying out orders. So I've got a higher law. So this is the law of the Torah. The wife sits next to the husband, not somebody else's wife next to the husband. Well, don't do that sort of thing. It's another law. That I could understand. That I could understand. Say, all right.
But
there is such a thing as a protocol, you see it?
I have a problem with you saying that.
I just want to finish this. So in the same way, I mean, this is a thing, a husband would never just divorce a wife. It's not something that wasn't done. That was the protocol. Although it's permitted, it was never done. But when it became serious that it was done, then the law was introduced that a man cannot give a wife a gift bound for her. That he cannot do. You know what you want to say.
You said that Bathsheba, since the king ordered to, she had to.
Yes.
Now this comes in part to what you were just saying. If there was literally physical force, she may not be obliged. But the fact is, adultery is one of the things that you can't do, even at the risk of your own life. So what does the king say she had
to do? Well, that comes in the Tosfos here with Esther, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
With Esther is the same thing, you see. That comes into the thing. There's a difference between a man and a woman, believe it or not. But this is a difference.
Uh-huh.
It's just a difference, yes. So that all comes in. All this will be discussed. All takes its place. Now, so the first thing says the Gemara that there she was forced. That is an onus. The king says you've got to come. I must tell you, as I was saying, that is protocol. In South Africa, if you were invited to a government banquet or anything government, you didn't get an invitation. You first of all got a message, could have been a written message, and the message wants to know whether, if you were to receive an invitation, you would wish to accept it and you would be available to accept it. That's that. You follow? And when you reply in the affirmative, then you get 3 weeks later comes the invitation, the official invitation. But to say no, that's not. And once I got an invitation, straight without that preliminary, and I couldn't go. It was my Shabbos morning. And I couldn't go. The Shabbos morning, it was from the Prime Minister himself. Dear to the very best.
should have known better than to invite you on Shabbos morning.
Sure.
Slipped up.
You should have known that.
Slipped up. Well, you see, it wasn't that I could walk there. It was an inauguration of the president. I could have walked there. It was very near to where I am. It was just a walk. Shabbos, I'm not prepared to do that. Shabbos, I should not be prepared to do that. Just a walk across was very near. Doubt if it was half a mile. So, anyway, but very, very well. So I had to explain. Had a very nice message to come back, came back. Very nice message. Apology that it should have been done and understands perfectly, and he will see to it that there will be another occasion. And surely enough, there was another very intimate occasion, which is much nicer. He saw to it that there was another occasion. So, all right, but that is protocol, you see. That is the way it's done.
Do they still have inaugurations on Shabbos?
If the king says you can come to come, there's no question that you're asked to come, there's no question. You just come. See, that is what it was in those days. So the first is that it was an onus. The boys anymore. And now we come right into the thick of it. Ki ho de Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer Rabbi Yonoso. This is like Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Nachmani, said in the name of Rabbi Yonoso. Kol hayosef milchemes beit David, get krisus kosev leishto. Anyone who went out to the war of David HaMelech used to arrange that he used to write a get for his wife.
That's what they do today.
That's what they do today.
Yeah.
Dichsiv, from where do we know it? Because it says in the Torah, Ve'es achecho tifkod l'sholom, Ve'es aruvo som tikah. Yishai, who was Yishai? The father of David. When David's brothers were in war, and David was young still, and he was at home, and he was looking after his father's sheep, and he was looking after his brother's sheep, and his father sent David to his brothers, and he said to them, "Tifkod l'sholom, go and find out how they are as to their welfare." Ve'es aruvo som tikach, and you shall take their eruv. What is an eruv? That's right, that's quite right. An eruv is something that you mix and you make into one. You mix and you make it into one. You've got an eruv round a town. Put it all together and it becomes one. You've got an Eruv Chatzeres, you've got two houses in a complex. And these two houses make an Eruv, they make it that it's all in one house, it belongs all to one house. You can carry there. That is an Eruv. Eruv Tavshili. What is Eruv Tavshili? When Yom Tov falls on Shabbos and Sunday, on Friday and Shabbos. So on Friday you can't, from the first day Yom Tov, you can't cook for the second day Yom Tov. So how are you going to do here? And you can't, Thursday it's too early to cook for Shabbos. So how do you do here? So we cook on Thursday, we start something. And on Friday, it can be Thursday, Friday, Yom Tov, and then on Shabbos, and Friday you want to cook for Shabbos. So on Wednesday, we cook a dish already for Shabbos, and we put this away. And then when Friday comes, we cook again, we add to the dish that we did on Wednesday, we start adding to it, so we make it one dish. That's called an Eruv. what's the most intimate type of eruv that there can exist between husband and wife? Which is what makes that eruv? Kiddushin. You understand? Kiddushin. So he says to him, there is a eruv or sontika, and take away from them their kiddushin. Why does he say take away from them their kiddushin?
Going out to war.
Because they're going out to war. How do you take away their kiddushin from them? They've got to give gittin for their wives.
That's this what he only take effect
for a coin.
So we did all that we knew anyway.
Coin for a coin.
Yeah, we did all that. It doesn't matter. It always comes up and means you won't get his
problems through the kahani.
Oh, your pardon?
Problems for the Kahani.
Very great problems. Cohen can't do it. Very great problems. There are other things you can really call.
Do the Kohanim fight in the war then? Would they go to war?
No. No, they wouldn't. It would be a Kohanim. He wouldn't be able to do that. It's quite tough.
A Kohen can't write a paper of divorce?
Yes, he can, but then he can't marry his own wife, which is a divorcee. A Kohen can't marry a divorcee. He can't marry his own divorcee either. Alright, anyway. So that is what they used to do. So how Rashi says, She'im yomus b'milchomo yehaget b'yom kesivosan. That should he die in war, it is a get retrospectively from the day of death. Got the idea? It's retrospectively from the day of death. So he writes it that it's a divorce, miyomula achar miso, that is from today and after miso, he writes it. So it's retrospectively. So when Uriah was killed in warfare, it was retrospective, the get was retrospective, and therefore she couldn't become prohibited to Uriah. So when she had the relationship with David, she couldn't become Uriah, and therefore consequently not to Dovid. There are a lot of questions on that, and this is all asked in Tosfos. A lot of questions asked that. And even if it was that Dovid didn't know that he wouldn't come back from war, so how could he still do it? He might have not come back. How could he do it? The Tosfos asks all these questions, you see. But we are not ready for the Tosfos yet. But I want to get the Gemara a little bit. Yes.
Point of clarification.
Yes.
Was that association with Dovid and Bathsheba after Uriah went out to war?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he was in the front line already. And then he came home afterwards. He was away.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Are there enough questions here? I mean, even if she wasn't married? Is it a nice thing to do? Even if she wasn't married, and if she didn't have a husband, and even if she was a divorcee, and even if she was a widow, and even if she was a penuyor, one doesn't do a thing like that. Oh, that we've got to see. That we've got to see. So the enough thing. Tony Tikach asks the Gemara, "My be'et es eruv or som tikach? What does it mean? And you shall take the eruv." Tony Rav Yosef learned, "Devorim hamu'urovim beino leveino, things that are mixed between him and her. That means that make one of the two of them. That is what you must take away from them. How does he take away from them?" Through again. But the way it was done, and after all, this is a father-in-law that says so. It's a father-in-law that says so. But he's interested in the daughter-in-law. There's nothing, that she doesn't remain an aguno. He's interested in the daughter-in-law. It's not her father. It's his father, the man's father. We pardon?
I'm just asking if everyone knows what an aguna is.
An aguna is a woman whose husband cannot be proved dead, nor can he be assumed dead, but he's not available, he's not there. He's not there, that's my good, he's not there.
She can't marry her.
Are we pardon?
She cannot marry anyone.
She can't marry. She can't marry. We've got to be able, we've got to have some kind of proof that he isn't there. There are various ways when we can do it, but we have to have a kind of proof.
What happened after the war, after World War II, when all the people were in the camps?
There was a lot of that went on for a long time. It went on for a long time afterwards. You know, the deeming that you can do is, I think I told you the story with Revisco Kilkonen. Revisco Kilkonen died about 1896. And he wrote a Sefer of Shilas and Tshuvas, and I once had to work on several things in that Shilas and Tshuvas, and I went through it. And the Shilas and Tshuvas was on Agunas, and there was about 24 Shilas and Tshuvas of Agunas, and his matir, every one he allows, every single one. My landlady was a person who was brought up in the same sort of complex where the Yitzchok and Conan lived, and she was very friendly with the family of the little girl, and her family was very friendly, so her children knew a lot about it, and I asked them about that. I said, you know, I've just gone through it. They said, no, he did prohibit, but when he published his work, he would only put in those that he permitted. He said he doesn't want anybody, if he prohibits, he was afraid that somebody would take that as a precedent and also prohibit. He said he'd rather leave it open. Where he permitted, he said that he wants to be taken as a precedent that he wanted. And the story is that it happened once, was after the Russian Russian-Japanese war. It was after the Russian-Japanese war that he allowed a woman to remarry on the basis of her, and the husband came back. Well, for 3 days they didn't know how to get him. Didn't know how they got together. They said kill him and everything. For 3 days was remarried. Then they elected a delegation to go, and they kill him, and they brought him, and they kill him, and he was unmoved by it. Unmoved. He said, I worked it out according to the deen. According to the deen she was allowed, I worked it out according to the deen. He was unmoved by it. I mean, he was so certain of you that I worked it out according to the deed.
But the consequences of that were?
Well, I'm not going into the consequences of that. But he worked it out according to the deed. There you've got the story of this piece of Gemara. Have you got it? Mark, you felt that you didn't understand it last time.
I feel I have a much better understanding.
Have you got a good understanding of it?
Yeah, I think so.
Reb Yaakov Dovid, how do you feel about it? You think we've broken the back now? Back of the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
We burst in the back of the Gemara. Now, of course,
it helps I
could go on, and we could go on the Gemara, but I don't want to do that. This is a world sugya. A world sugya. There's a pesach. You've got basic, just basic things here that help. Sophek, Sfekspeko, Rome, Hazoko, Cheskesagut, Selto, Skinui, Spiro, Raglaim Medovo, Adus. What you've got here. And this is, you are at the stage now that I can do tasteless with you. But you've got to first of all know the Gemara well, and you've got to know the Rashi well enough to work with it. And then we've got to do the tasteless. Lovely stuff. And of course in this tasteless here, we get the whole story, we get the whole story of, we get the whole story of David HaMelech. Again, we go into greater detail of it. I have to again remind you of a Tosfos. Of a Tosfos of a Rabbeinu Tam that we learned, the Lidrus Luda Omer Ishori, Esther, this Tosfos now you'll be able to understand. Tosfos on the Gimel of the other of the days, the Esther. Now we'll be able to, you're ready to understand that Tosfos which you couldn't understand before. But this is. What lovely stuff. As somebody said to me the other day in San Jose, he said to me, a whole parsha of the Torah has just become, just opened itself to him. He never understood it, and the whole thing becomes clear now. This whole question with David HaMelech and the Parsha Sota, I mean the Parsha Sota, you can see now how it works, it's so clear that where there is two witnesses we know exactly what happens, where there is Kinui Ustiro and Eid Echod we know what happens, where there is Kinui and Stiro without Eid Echod we know what happens, where there is no Kinui and there is Stiro and there is no Kinui we know what happens, we've got the whole thing clear now. Because there are fingerprints. That is how the whole thing works. Yes.
After an animal, you want to know if the chita was right or not, but it's got a cheskas aguf. The cheskas aguf is its eivah min achai, it's alive. It was born alive. So it was said, the cheskas aguf is that you can't eat it. You don't know whether the eivah achai was removed or not. It's got a cheskas aguf, it's eivah min achai. So a cheskas aguf is a very strong chazoko. Now, gentlemen, we've got the question of safety, you understand that well. If you get a chance, you can take a chumash and just go through it in a chumash. Just remember that we use verse 14 to understand that in verse 13 there was kinui. We use verse 13 to understand that in verse 14 there was steel, and we use it to understand one another. Then you can't go wrong with it. So you remember you were worried about.
Yeah.
Then we can't go wrong. Yes.
Why is so, it possible that we brought up all the different? Why? What's the peculiar order? In other words, you say first, Pasuk says v'hinit ma, and then it says that there was.
Benistero. Yes.
In other words, she became Tmeya.
We've got no. There is. She was. But what is our proof? Our proof is that there was Kinui and Stiro and Eid Echod. That is the way the Gaborian Sota learns that pasuk.
Okay, but we have that from the pasuk that there was all these elements.
Yes.
Does she? But she doesn't. She can't become tmeya to him unless there were these elements.
That's right.
But according to the pasuk, she became tmeya even before this was complete.
No.
This took place, but the Nela making the issue, the husband's got no proof. It's even trying. The Nishtero, and she, there was Spiro. The Vimnit Moho, and she is Tmeo. The Eid Ein Bo. But one witness is there. The He Lomis Poso. It says that he loved his sponsor, by the way. Once this question was raised, and she wasn't Ones. Stress on she. And she wasn't Ones. That means that there can be a she that wasn't Ones. That wasn't Ones, and she becomes also. That's an Ashes going. But he loved his sponsor, she not. But an Aches go becomes a Surah. That's the way the Gemara learns it. The Gemara learns it, and she had an association with a man. But her husband can't, he doesn't know for certain. But the fact is, she did. The Nistero, but there was Stiro, that there was. But he need more, and she is the Mayo. The Eight Able. Two witnesses aren't there, but one witness is. The he loved his poster, and there was no illness. She becomes a student. That is the way that this poster learns. That is as far, I can go further into this poster, and I can show you other things here, but as far as we need go, that is as far as we need go with that poster.
Is there a shift 2 weeks?
A shear, just let's work it out. No, one week from tonight will be in Yitzhak in the second Seder. 2 weeks from tonight we will finish Miley Boy. It's the second night Yom Tov. It's the eighth day Yom Tov. So I can't do it. So I won't see you, gentlemen, for another
6 weeks.
How I will survive, I don't know. 9 weeks. I don't know how I will survive. What I intend doing is getting a group of people in San Jose and learning with them, learning this tomorrow with them. Then I will imagine that you were sitting in front of me.
The problem we have is getting together with another imagining that you're here.
Yes, get somebody together. You've got now. Why do you think they said the very first fantasy imagination? Use it. Good thing. Well, I thank you very much. I wish you all a very happy Pesach. Chag Kosher v'Sameach. I wish it were a big struggle. The struggle that I've got and some others have got. But unfortunately, it's not a big struggle. You heard me speak on various occasions at this shiur that of the differences that the difference in the Torah world until the Second World War and today, until the destruction of Hurva, and today the difference in the Torah world, that there's just no comparison between the two. In the Torah world there was Nikius. Nikius, I'm using it not in the sense of cleanliness, but in the sense of cleanness. It's a cleanness. But in more cases than not, there was a taharo, there was a purity. But in all cases, the keys, that was the very least there was a cleanness. The madrego, the level after cleanness, is the madrego of purity. there was, in many cases, the level of the Torah world was one of tahor, or was one of purity. In some cases, there was actually kedusha. That's the highest level. There was holiness. But in wherever one was in the Torah world, there was a struggle for kedusha. That was common to everybody. There was a struggle for kedusha. That is gone completely. I had a letter from somebody about a certain Rosh Yeshiva. He runs a yeshiva. And he was doing some shady work, which he hadn't done for the first time. And he was busy on a certain deal. This wasn't in Israel, it was outside of Israel. He was busy on a certain deal, and not in America. He was busy on a certain deal. And this deal, he said, this deal is clear. He said, it's not true to type, because that's not the way he does it. He said, but this time, this is a clean deal, and he's just doing this deal and he's getting out of it. So the person to whom he spoke was a Talmid of mine. He was a little bit surprised about it. So he said, look here, I want you to understand. Torah is Torah, and yeshiva is business. This is something that was unheard of. Now, this is something so crooked that it eats away at the very foundation of what Torah is. At the very foundation. I would have preferred it had he said, Torah is business and yeshiva is Torah. It would have been much easier to get right. Then you can get it right. But once you adopt the attitude, Torah is Torah, yeshiva is business, doesn't matter how you do it. This is something that you can't even get right. Can't get this right. So, in our work, this is the struggle that we've got. This is the struggle that we've got. I know how difficult it is when you are working for a cause and you've got to have an organization. Otherwise you can't work your cause. Organization is all right. It's the next step that becomes dangerous. From an organization it becomes an establishment. You can still do it all right. There can still be cleanness. But when an establishment becomes a business, then you are in very deep water. And this is something that we try and avoid. Got to have an organization. When you get to organization, you've already got to be very careful about it. This is something that, as I said, in this world that we are living, I'm speaking about the Torah world, and I'm not speaking about the non-Jewish world. This is the struggle that goes on. Unfortunately, it's not a strong struggle. Okay, it's an unfair struggle. It's a struggle where all the heavy guns are on the one side. The heavy guns, by heavy guns, I mean the numbers, are all on the one side. So it's very, very few. Very, very few were standing on the other side and they're doing it. And the purpose of this shiur is exactly that the Torah is something that it's not mechanical. One just learns mechanically what the Torah is. But the Torah has got a double purpose. First of all, it teaches us what Torah is. But if one does it not mechanically, and one does, even if it doesn't apply to us directly, even if it doesn't apply to us even indirectly, but it is Torah, it has a purifying effect, provided one doesn't do it mechanically. And that is the way we are trying to do our Torah. Yes?
I have two questions.
Yeah.
First, I learned that when you go to the gates of Gan Eden, the first question that will be asked is, were you honest in your business dealings? That, I gather, is the Jewish idea of business. So when you say, when you're condemning yeshiva as business, I assume you're not talking, you're not speaking in the same sense of business from the Jewish sense, where even your business is honest.
No, you're
saying business in the American sense.
I didn't make myself understood. When I speak about business, I speak about what is normally accepted as business. The one thing that is normally accepted about business is, in business, you can't be absolutely honest in business. You can't be honest in business. That's one thing that is accepted about business. And another thing is...
Not by us, though.
But who is us?
Jews at this table.
Well, you see, this is I want to know what the us means. That is the first thing. And the second thing, you can't be able to be honest in business. And the second thing is that you're not expected to be. Business is another world altogether. That is what I'm concerned about. A business is very good indeed. If there wasn't commerce and there wasn't industry, the wheels wouldn't go round. We would never have a yeshiva, we would never have any Torah learning. It's only because there's commerce and there's industry.
There must be Torah.
There wouldn't be hospitals. Of course it's very necessary. It's so necessary that we would like to regard business as an avodah zakovish. Then it's got to be clean. The very least, it's got to be clean. But we want it to be an avodah zakovish. It's a holy word, business. I'm not speaking of business like that. I'm speaking of what is God. That running a sheep is the same as any other business. First of all, it's intrinsically not. Secondly, one expects that the way you run a yeshiva is the way the business world learns how to do yeshiva. My second son, some of you might have seen him, he spent a day here last week. He learns with Reb Meir Soloveitchik. Now, Reb Meir Soloveitchik has got 15 students. That's all he takes. It's happened that he's had 17. He's been forced into a position, but 17, he's never had more than 17. He keeps only 15. He does not accept any money that was earned on Shabbos. Nothing. When I sent him money the first time, you don't know from where it comes.
I know from where it comes. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry.
It can't blow up the place or anything like that. Yes, it doesn't disturb me. The only thing is, I don't know, they say this is a laboratory. And I saw a fascinating picture yesterday. It was a piece of Musa, the picture of Robert Oppenheimer. you know who Rabban Avinai was, the man who had the bomb, and this was a picture on TV, and I knew a little bit about him, but this filled in all the gaps, you know, and I hear this sort of noise going on, or sort of, I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, that is what I mean by business. You follow, Philip? Of course. That's a type of business, I mean. I expect if you do business, it's got to set the tone, it's got to know about it. So it's just the very first thing that there's got to be is clean. It's got to be clean. Taharo, right. I don't expect that. But clean. Good clean. That's out that it got.
Fortunately, we see today that worse than the field, we see that the minister in Israel, that the yeshivot have sunk into a level of corruption, and so as to say,
it's not the yeshivot, it's a yeshivot.
So the establishment yeshivot.
I was telling you that this Bayesar of Echina, he doesn't take any money from his another brother runs a yeshiva, but that's already a much bigger one. He's got 200. And there's a very outstanding rabbi in the United States. He doesn't take, unfortunately died a few months ago, he wouldn't take money from this rabbi in the United States. Wouldn't take it. Why? Because he felt that his views on Torah weren't altogether straight, altogether right. And this rabbi would never have taken, sent him money that was earned on Shabbos, would never have done it. He wouldn't take money from him. And this rabbi used to get money to him by giving it to somebody else who used to give it to him and not telling him that it came from him. Because he wanted him to have it. So I don't want you to think that it's all like that. It's not like that. It's not like that. But one has to work in order to... All right. Now, gentlemen, we've got to get on to our work. I haven't seen you for 9 weeks now. 9 weeks is an awfully long time. Michael, I think you and I haven't seen each other for even longer than that, isn't it?
Did you say 9 weeks?
9 weeks, yes.
Let me explain.
I was wondering, I thought I had entered a time war.
So it's just been a long time. So we've got to get back into work. We've got to get back into work, and today, if you will forgive me, gentlemen, in order to get back into work, I've got to cover ground. And I've got to just get you up onto, to be on top of everything. The first subject that comes up is Shavi Aleicha Tichud Yisuro. On Daftes. Daftes. Shavi Aleicha Tichud Yisuro. Now, I would have liked somebody to say the Gemara and the Rashi. The only thing is, it's going to take too long to do it. So what I decided was that I was going to go through it, but I know exactly how much time I'm going to allow to it. And I'm going to go through, and I'm going to stop and pounce on you at every now and then to ask you a question. Barry, are you ready for it?
No.
You're not. Now... The Gemara starts on Daf Ches Omud Beis. The last three words on Daf Ches Omud Beis, the last three words here, is one of the important sugyas in the whole of Shas, because of the number of subjects that come in. Omar Rabbi Elozer said, Rabbi Elozer, Oum et pesach posuach motzosi ne emon la usro olo. If a man comes to the Beis Din on Thursday morning and he says pesach posuach motzosi, he is believed to make his wife asura to him. On what grounds? On the grounds that she is a sofek sotor. Sofek sotor. Because he found Pesach Pesuach, he doesn't know whether she was unfaithful to him or not. And don't forget, this is speaking about the period between Kiddushin and Nisuin. If there are any Greek words that I use or Chinese words that you don't know the meaning of, you may interrupt me and ask me.
No Hebrew words you must know, yes.
Asks the Gemara. Now, the first subject that we have got to understand is, what is the principle involved in that he can come and make the asura to him? The first thing that Rashi tells us is, she becomes asura forbidden. She becomes asura to him, she becomes forbidden to him, but her kesuba she gets. Her kesuba she gets. So it means, it says, Ne'emon, he is believed, la osro olo, to make her asura to him, that is believed. But once it's kesuba, that belongs to her, for that he is not believed. But to make her asura to him is believed. So I want to know from someone here tonight, what is the basis on which we say that he is believed? What is the workings of it? What's the system? What's the instrument that is being used? Can anybody tell me? Good, thank you, Professor. Shavio aleicha ticho di isuro. What is it? Because he makes her asura to him. Right. The question is, what is the basis of Shavi Aleicha Ticho Di Yisuro? We've got to understand what is the workings of Shavi Aleicha Ticho Di Yisuro. Yes?
Is that the same system as someone makes a vow to...
Well, we're going to come to that. Thank you. It's Milton. Thank you. Shavi Aleicha Ticho Di Yisuro. He puts himself a piece of Yisuro. Now, the question is, what is Shavi Aleicha Ticho Di Yisuro? Amongst the Rishonim, there are two schools of thought. The one school of thought says, Shavi Aleicha Ticho Di Yisuro, the tam is mishum neder. It's mitam neder. That is, it's like making a vow. He makes a vow on himself. The other is, it's because of ne'emonus. He is believed. What does it mean he is believed? We have got, normally speaking, up each time, Adim Yochum Dobor, we need two witnesses in order to establish anything. Whether to establish something, whether to find out whether it's true, we need two witnesses. However, in the Torah we find that there are cases where one witness is sufficient. And I gave you a few examples of it. For example, if I ask my wife, can I have my dinner? She'll say, what's the matter? Why can't you have your dinner? I say, I want to know if it's kosher.
Would you survive asking a question like that?
And she says, yes, it's kosher. Then the deen is that I can take it, it's kosher. She's only one witness. And she is a woman, and a woman isn't allowed to be a witness. But eid echod ne'emon be'isuri. One witness is believed in matters of isur. What is matters of isur? Kashrus is a matter of isur. Kosher or trade, one witness is believed. A shochet, he says, I say, may I eat this chicken? He says, yes. I say, how do you know he may eat it? He says, I shechted it. I said, perhaps the sakin was pogum, that means perhaps the knife was flawed, had a flaw. He said, it wasn't flawed. I examined it, it wasn't flawed. Perhaps after the chicken was slaughtered, the sucking was flawed. He said, I examined it after, it wasn't flawed. Perhaps something went wrong in the shifting of it. He said, I was careful, nothing went wrong. The law is I can eat the shear. First of all, he's one witness. Secondly, he's an interested party. We say, no, he is believed. A chayo, a midwife, is believed. She's in the labor ward, and she's just delivered four children. Now the fathers all come along, four fathers all come along and say, which is mine, which is mine? She says, this is your Kohen, this is your son, he's a Kohen. This is your son, you're a lady, this is your son. The Yehuda Israel, this is your son. You miserable wretch, you're a mamzer. This is your son. She's allowed to do it. I is one witness, and she can make him a mamzer, one witness, and she's a woman, believed. Why? Because she is in a position to do so. Right? There's another source for it in the Torah itself, and this is the main source in the Torah, because the Torah says with regard to an ish or nido, the Torah says the sofro she shall count 7 clean days. She tells the husband she's counted 7 clean days. She's believed. It's her, she's an interested party. She is a woman. She's one witness. That is the law. Eid Echot Ne'er Mon Be'isuri. So we would, those are the two views. The one view is Shav Yorecha Ticha Be'isuri is Mitam Neder. The other view is Shavya Aleicha Ticha Isuro is Mitam Ne'emonus. Ne'emonus is a question of belief, is a question of Eidus. Those are the two views. What did you want to ask, Philip?
If one witness is believed, then why can't I go into Tommy's kosher butcher shop without rabbinical supervision? He says it's kosher?
Yes. If Tommy was a man who got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and for 1.5 hours he learned, and at 5:30 in the morning he ran off to the first minyan, and he saw that he said Shema not later than the rising of the sun, and he davened Shemoneh Esra, he took 10 minutes over his Shemoneh Esra, and he kept Shabbos as it should be kept, and a big piece of business comes to him, Shabbos, all he's got to say is yes, all he's got to say, yes, sign it on my behalf, and he says, Shabbos, no business. Then it's no, Shabbos, no business. Thank you, Mr. Tommy, it's no. It's no. No business. It will cost you $100,000. Shabbos is Shabbos. $100,000 isn't a temptation when it comes to Shabbos. That type of man, you can go in without any hashgachah and you can eat. If he says it's kosher, you can eat. In fact, it's more kosher if he hasn't got hashgachah than if he has got it. Does that answer your question? Now that's not only an answer, that's also a sermon.
But I can rely on my wife, who may be able to.
I don't know your wife, but please introduce me
to her.
Yes, but let us continue. Yes.
For the reason,
yes, on the counter.
What is the distinction between the category which puts it in one of these that you just mentioned, and that which it requires to aid him? What distinguishes between it? Just anyone who is really in an authoritative position?
No. For example, if it's a dovot erva, you've got to decide whether a woman is married or not. Or you've got to have witnesses at a wedding. You've got to have two witnesses, nothing else. There you can't have one witness. You've got to decide whether that man did borrow the money from that man. If he owes him that money, you've got to have two witnesses. All one witness can do is make him take an oath, but then you can have it. There are things only with regard to Isur, only with regard to matters that are prohibited, one witness is believed. We find one or two exceptions, a couple of other things. Now, we don't know yet what is all. We are dealing it with Rashi. As I told you, there were two schools amongst the Rishonim, but we are dealing with Rashi, so we've got to find out to which school Rashi belongs. Does he belong to the school of Neder, or does he belong to the school of Nehemonis? That he's a Nehemonis. We'll come to that. We'll do the Rashi just now. We'll come to it. Yes, Michael.
I'm sorry. In a nutshell, what is the difference between the school of Neder and the school of Nehemonis? The school of Neder requires a formalized oath.
Oh, that's really interesting, because one of the reasons I'm going to say why Rashi doesn't accept the school of Neder is because he's got to say, put it into the language of an oath. He's got to say, for example, Osu Dovol Ze Olai. This thing is prohibited to me. Then it's prohibited to me. For example, if a person wants to stop smoking, and he wants, he can do it either mitam shvur. Shvur is it subjective. He says, I will not smoke anymore. That's subjective. A neder is objective. It's on the object. He's got to say, all cigarettes and cigars are prohibited to me, or all tobacco is prohibited, is also to me. You follow?
Let me just try again, because I've been away for 9 weeks. But
yes,
suffering.
I think you've been away for more than 9 weeks, but I'll let it pass. Yes.
The situation with Neder is if someone willingly makes something usher to himself.
That's right. Yes.
And the situation with Nehemonis is if he testifies to a situation in which it would automatically be.
It's a question of whether we believe him or not. In this particular instance, if he says, I found a Pesach Posuach, it is, and we believe him, and there's only one Sofek, we say, well, this woman is a, because of a Sofek, you can't live with her. You follow, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
It'll become clearer as we do the Gemara.
Is there a difference in actual outcome as far as which?
Well, the whole difference will be, the outcome will be when it works and when it doesn't work. There'll come a lot of differences. But we're going to come to a difference immediately, you see. Now, I'm going to say that, first of all, Rashi doesn't learn it that way. I'm going to say that I don't see how anybody can learn it that way in this particular instance. Yes, Harry?
Nehemonis?
Nehemonis.
Nehemonis. In that case, could one say that this single witness, single aid, is the, not just that he would be in a position to know and would be an authority, but he would be the only one.
That's right. That comes into it.
So there can't be anyone else who could possibly be.
That's very good. That certainly comes into it. That certainly comes into it. But the thing is, if a person says, my wife is Asura to me, there's an Isur in it. My wife is Asura to me. He can do that. And it's not a question of whether he's believed or not. We don't know whether we can believe you. Yes, I'm not asking you to believe me. If I say all tobacco lahavdil is prohibited to me, you ask me a question whether you must believe me or not. It's got nothing to do with belief. It's got nothing to do with Nehemonis. But where it is a question of Nehemonis, there's a question of belief. So the Gemara asks the Gemara. So we say Rabbi also says, "Omer pesa petuach matoti." Do you understand that? A person who says, if a man comes along and he says Pesach posuach motzosi, nemon la'uslorov, he is believed to make her a surah to him. Ask the Gemara ba'amai, but why should it be so? Sfek sfek ohu, it is a sofek within a sofek. Sofek tachtov, sofek ain tachtov. First of all, it's a question of whether she was mezane before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin. The intim tzolomer tachtov, and if you will say that it was after Kiddushin, sofik ba'one, sofik ba'rotzon, perhaps she was forced to have an association with him, perhaps she did it willingly. So there is a sofik within a sofik, and a sofik within a sofik is permitted. And I gave you the reason why a sofek within a sofek is permitted. I gave you the reason of the Rashbo, because the majority is heter. Sofek tachtov, sofek lav tachtov. Was it before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin? That makes it 50% she's prohibited to him, 50% she's permitted to him. And even if I say tachtov, that she's permitted to him, then it might have been the onus. So it makes it that it's now, it's so it's 75 chances that she's permitted to him, and 25 chances that she's not permitted to him. So mitam rov, here Philip, you've got the same expression again, mitam rov, because of the reason of rov, or mishum rov, because of the tam of the majority, she is permitted to him. That is the idea of Sfek Sfeker. So we are learning Sfek Sfeker for the time being according to the Rashbo, not according to the Rambam. We can tackle that at some other time. We don't have to give all the shittos, all the theses. That is the way the Rashbo learns it, which is very, very good. The Rambam, Rashbo, several Rishonim learned it like that. Now, so why should she become Asura to him? Now, if we learn that Mitam Neder, that's not a question of the Gemara, that it's Sfek Sfeiko. He says, I want her to be Asura to me. What are you killing me Sfek Sfeiko for? That's what he would say.
It's not a question.
It wouldn't be a question if you learn it from Neder. But if you learn it from Neamonis, it's very good. He says, look, I found her, we say, right, we believe you that you found her like that. That's the fact that you tell us. But with that fact that you give us, the law is that you can go on living too with her because there's a Sfek Sfeikov. So the Tam, the Neamonis works out very nicely. We are going to work it on the basis of Neamonis, you see. So it works out very nicely. Yes.
Just think of me, there's another difficulty of the arbitrariness of Nader here, that he's taking the Nader with himself, but when all is said and done, he's also affecting her conjugal rights.
Well, you see, one can do that. One can do that. In Nader, one can do that. For example, I can make a Nader that this sefer is also to you. I can make a Nader, you're not allowed to use it.
But can you make a neder which contradicts the tuba that he just signed, which he promised her certain conjugal rights?
All that she could then claim is a get. But he can. From that point of view, there isn't such a difficulty. From that point of view, one can get away with it. Right. Now, answers the Gemara Lo Tzricha. Says the Gemara no. Rabbi Elazar is not speaking in a case where there's a Sfek Sfeiko, but Rabbi Elazar is speaking in a case where there's only one Sofek, but Ashes Kohen, in the case of Ashes Kohen. So in Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, the Sofek is only whether it was before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin. Because if it was after Kiddushin, and even if it was by Ones, a Kohen is not allowed to live with his wife anymore. So therefore it's only one Sofek. The boy is even if you want to can say the ages is royal to go to Kobi Boavu Kiddushin Bakusumi Baskimushonim Yom Echod. it's speaking about the wife of Israel, where the Kiddushin was when she was 3 years old. And the Nisuin, and he marries her when she's 15 years old. So the Sofik is, can't be whether it was Lavkacht or whether it took place before Kiddushin. Because if it took place before Kiddushin, it means it took place when she was less than 3 years old. If it took place when less than 3 years old, her Basulim grow again and they return. So she would have had Basulim now, and she hasn't got Basulim. So it must have taken place after. So the only question is Ones or Rotzen. Was it Ones or Rotzen? David, you understand my language? That's not a good answer.
Right.
Now, let's go on. First piece of Gemara we've got clear. Now let us turn to the Rashi and just see how Rashi does that first piece of Gemara. And please don't tell me Rashi doesn't say anything, because without Rashi I wouldn't have been able to tell you what I did tell you. I get what I know about the Gemara I get from Rashi. For Omer Pesach Pesuach Motzosi, the Tainus Domim Einlo, says Rashi, and it's speaking about a case where there isn't a Taina of Domim, there's no blood. Kegon Shehimi Mishpachas Durkati She'enu Hem Dam Basulim. She belongs to a certain family that haven't got Dam Basulim, Kidula Kamon, as it says further on. Or it can happen with any other woman, that the sheet got lost, it was sent to the laundry, or it got lost, and he doesn't know if there was dam or if there wasn't dam. And sometimes it happens that he gets up in the morning and he goes to shul, and as he's walking back from shul, he starts thinking it was Pesach Pesuach. And he comes back, he wants to find the sheet. The sheet's already, it's gone off and he hasn't got it. Avol zos brur olo, but this is clear to him. Now, avol zos brur olo, those four words are very important to me in understanding the sheet of the thesis of Rashi. He says, but this is clear to him, shepesach posuach motzo, that he found a pesach posuach. That's clear to him. Yes.
My question is, if he found the Pesach Pesuach, I mean, he would have realized that right away. And it seems like he would have been careful about the sheets.
Well, it's not so simple, because a person doesn't, he doesn't think of it immediately. Afterwards, it strikes him that it was a Pesach Pesuach. Nemo la Usra Olav. So the Rabbi Ozo's din is he's believed to make her asura to him. The afati she'ena dovra ze'yochol hisbarer elo alpiv. And here is the point that was made by you, Harry. And although this matter cannot be clarified excepting by his word, legavi nafshei, with regard to himself, havi mehemani is believed. Leshavye alei chaticho de isuro. He must be believed to make her on him as something that is forbidden. So what is Rashi when he says that? Rashi says it, you can see that Rashi inclines to the view of Ne'emonus, that he is believed, says Rashi. Because if it was a question of neder, it's not a question of belief. Who cares if he believed it? That's not the point if it's neder. Michael, you follow what I'm saying? So from Rashi we can see it's a question of ne'emonus. Avo lahafsiru kesubos elimehem. But to make a loser kesuba, that he is not believed. For that you need two witnesses. That is not a dovor shel isur, but that is a dovor shel moman. That is not a question, are you with me here? Mm-hmm. That is not a matter of isur, of whether it is kosher or treif, or it's permitted or it's not permitted. That is a money question. This, the kesuba belongs to her. You want to make her lose the kesuba. for that you've got to have two witnesses, and he hasn't got two witnesses for that. For that he's not believed. Do you see how beautiful the Rashi is, or don't you see it?
What is the word neder literally?
A vow. It's a code of vow, you know. I mean, it's as much a vow as as you say, a polar bear is a lion. You know, it's an animal, but it's not a lion. Vow is a bad word in English, because vow is more like the idea of an oath. And that is the difference. The neder is on the article. On the article, right. Yes. Ask the Gemara v'amai mitzuro alei. The Rashi goes on, the Rashi says, the Gemara asks, but why should she become forbidden?